turn with me to 1 John. Well, you know I'm going to go ahead and read 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loves him that begat loveth him also him begotten of him. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, or loving God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And then I heard and found out from here in 1 John, in chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love. If you hadn't underlined it, do it already. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now that knoweth, that's the same word. That's the same Greek word, gnosko. They have no intimate relationship. No. He that loves not knoweth not God, for God is love. He is love. He has faith. We know that. So in the beginning, love created. Hallelujah. So, and two, look at this. Praise God. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. We have known and believed the love. There's that word known again. We have an intimate relationship and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Let's talk about believe the love. Believe the known had an intimate, well, when you got born again, that's as intimate as you can get. Because his Spirit recreated your spirit. And you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. I didn't know that. I just knew I sure was thrilled about it. Very little more than that I knew. And it was true. I told Gloria, I said, all I know how to do is fly airplanes. And, you know, like I told you, I said, you know, we go up there at that school, we're going to starve out. She said, Gloria, Kenneth, we're starving now. We might as well starve in. The will of God is out.
That's right.
We didn't know anything. Our parents loved God. Wallace, Babe, niece, went off to war. 1st Infantry Division. And God saved his life. They put him aboard ship, 1st Infantry, the big red one. Put him on ship to go to Sicily. He had an abscessed tooth. They took him off ship. The big red one, life got wiped out when they went to Italy. First time they'd been engaged in combat. They took him off and fixed his tooth and put him back on ship, and he went to England and trained there. Went through all of his training. Went all the way through D-Day. We have pictures of him, and on the back of that picture, D-Day, 6 June. And it shows He was a sergeant major. He was a sergeant with a diamond in the middle, which means he's an outstanding leader of men. All the way through the Battle of the Bulls before he got home. Well, nobody ever heard of PTSD, but he had it. So he began to drink, trying to get that out of his mind. But some years later, and I talked to him, and I talked to him about tithing. He didn't know about that. So anyway, but he had a heart attack. And they rushed him. Now, he and Mary divorced. He remarried. Mary never did. She just came to Fort Worth. And she was one of the very first ones to help Gloria and me in the office. Everybody called her Ma Dear. Anyway, so we rushed to Texarkana, and pastor of the First Baptist Church in Nashville, Arkansas. And so we were there, and he came over there to me. Of course, he knew very well who I was. He said, now, Copeland, I want to tell you something. He said, I stayed with him night and day. Just stayed here with him the whole time. I mean, he had bypass surgery. And he said, I just stayed with him right until I knew he was at the right moment there. And he said, I led him to the Lord. He never took another drink. It was over. The PTSD was gone. And he went home in 1999, a happy born again man. God is a faithful God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Faith works by love. We know that. Love never fails. Turn with me. Let's go back here to the 13th chapter of the book of John. In that 12th chapter, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And they made him a supper, and Martha served. Now, you just keep reading through the 12th, and all the way down, verse 49, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me gave me a commandment that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, having what? Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he came from love and went to love. He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. And that he poureth water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, let's, And you know, Peter argued with him there a little bit. He that is washed needeth not to have washed, so forth. For he knew who should betray him, verse 11. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, to us, I mean, we all wear shoes. They didn't. At the best, they had sandals. It was nasty. That's the reason Peter said, no. He didn't understand what Jesus was doing. I mean, it is filthy. You just walked around dodging all different kinds of things in the street. And here, they had gone to this place at night. It was in the middle of the night. It was dark. And artists don't read the Bible. They just make up stuff. That big, long table with everybody on it and Jesus in the middle. No. They were on the floor. Any table would have been mats and so forth on the floor. It was night, and it was lit by all lamps. It was dark in there, very intimate. And they were just all piled in there together. And Jesus was serving that last Passover meal. Oh, all kinds of things that he did. He took Messiah's cup and turned it up. And the linen napkin with matzo bread, where you take out Abraham, put him back, Isaac, put him back, Jacob, and so forth. And you take out Isaac and break him. Why? He didn't do that. He took that middle one and broke it, and he said, this is my body broken for you. This is my body broken for you. Notice what he said here. Verse 20. This is a book of exchanges. Remember I said that? Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, say, truly, truly, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one to on another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. He believed the love. That's the reason he wrote what he did in the letter in 1 John. He knew it and he believed it. And he's the only one that lived a long, 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 long. Nobody could kill him. They boiled him in oil and he didn't stay boiled. So they threw him away. Threw him out on a horrible place called Patmos, and he wrote the book of Revelation. And it come down to the book of Revelation, it says, the end.
Amen.
The end, yes. I've been rereading it. It's a letter. Don't get all over into the weeds. Just start out, it says, blessed is everybody that reads this. Okay, just take that and go for it. It's a vision. Anyway. Oh, let me ask you something else. Do you ever wonder why Luke's account of the birth of Jesus is so more detailed than the others? I did. But I just thought, oh, well. Until Rick Renner sent me his book, Christmas,
yes.
The Rest of the Story.
Yes.
Well, of course, Luke went to Ephesus and interviewed Mary. And John was there. So John didn't see any use writing another one. I'll tell you, that's a marvelous book. You just need to get one or two or three or four. And everybody pass them out during Christmas. And all of the artwork is done by a Russian Jew that's very, very close friend of Rick Renner's. It is magnificent. Now, I found out that the reason everybody in Nazareth knew him, at the little town of Nazareth never had over 120 to 150 people in it. What the hell, everybody wanted you? We know that, young'un. too familiar. The word carpenter. From the Greek word techno, technician. Are technologically advanced. There wasn't a whole lot of wood for him to be a carpenter of because everything was built out of rocks and stone. But he was a very, very advanced man. And he was wealthy to start with, and so was his wife. So Rick went into the background of both of them. This poor carpenter, he wasn't poor. He never was poor at times. He became poor when he just dumped everything. But none of his disciples were poor. Anyway. My mother always had the Christmas tree up before my birthday. And in December the 7th, 1941, I just turned five the day before. Nobody knew where Pearl Harbor was in Abilene, Texas. Abilene, a little small town named after Abilene, Kansas. It is a country railroad cattle town. And at the time, there was only 20,000 people in Abilene. They built Camp Barkley. And the first load of troops in there were 23,000 troops. There were more troops than there were people. Well, everybody got pretty disgusted at that because all the first 3 days passed, they bought up everything in town. And we drive downtown. They didn't, you park this way. You know, you drive in. So my mother and her younger sister, who went to Drawn's Business College and took the full stenographer course, because my dad worked there. Well, we go people watching. Watch all the people full in the streets. That wasn't the only thing to watch. There were little things you hung in the window. They had a little gold braid around it. That meant you had someone in the service. And as long as there was a silver star, everything's okay. But it was a gold star, either killed in action or missing in action. So everybody's checking out the windows all over town. And I remember thinking, boy, they messed up a real good birthday party for me. Because my mother always had the Christmas tree. She loved Christmas. And she'd have the Christmas tree up by my birthday. She thought that was wonderful. It is pure torture for me. December the 6th. Where can 25 will ever get here? But she thought it was wonderful. Well, I did too, because she's pretty wonderful herself. Anyway, all of these things are important. This book of covenants and history, the good, the bad, the ugly, the wonderful, but all of it a book of love. One of you shall betray me. Then the disciples, one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spoke. Can you see this now? I mean, they're all tucked in there together. And Peter looks over and says, ask him. You ask him. John said, no, I'm not going to ask him. No, you ask him. Peter, James, and John. It says a lot from Mr. Zebedee. Amen. A lot. Peter, James, and John. So, the one that stayed with Jesus all the way through the whole thing. He didn't get out away from him at all, not any time through the trial, through everything else, all of it, the terror of it all. He was there. He stayed right with him. He wouldn't leave him. Because love casts out fear. He had no fear of it. And he had fallen in love with this man. He loved him so. Followed him all the way to the end. And he stayed all the way to the end. He was the last one. And he died an old man. They tried to kill him. They tried everything they could do to get rid of him. But the apostle of love, faith works by love. The apostle of love.
Hello, I'm Martin Hawkins from Kenneth Copeland Ministries in Europe. I'd like to greet all of the partners of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. You are so precious and so special to us. I've got some great news for you. I'm here in Harrogate at the Harrogate Convention Centre. And this summer in June, Brother Copeland's coming here along with his good friend, Brother Jerry Savelle. We're going to have a great time together. There'll be praise and worship, and great teaching and the opportunity for you to fellowship and come and meet some of the staff from the KCM office. So if you can join us in beautiful Harrogate from the 1st to the 3rd of June for the Europe Victory Campaign, you will be very welcome. You'll be very blessed. Expect faith, expect victory.
There is one force that is the source of all spiritual power. One force that will give you victory. One force that is God Himself. It's love. Open the door to God's overcoming authority in your life with the Power of Love package by Kenneth Copeland, The Power of Love and Love Confessions, and a mini book by Gloria Copeland called Love, The Secret to Your Success. When you remain in God's agape love, fear is shut out and you are positioned to never fail. It puts a wall of protection around you and opens you up to receive God's blessing. By faith, you can learn to love with the God kind of love. Activate His power in your life by making the quality decision to remain in love. Continually confess His word. Then begin to see how it causes your faith to work and propels you over every obstacle. Act on God's word and experience the power of love.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. This week, Brother Copeland is teaching us about love, the secret to success. It is the key to life, healing, and prosperity because God is love. And 1 John 4:16 tells us, "He that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him." If you're born again, that powerful spiritual force of love lives on the inside of you to help you develop God's love in you. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have put together a package of 3 resources called the Power of Love Package. Learn how to activate the love of God through the spoken word and bring life to the promises He has for you. To receive your package today, go to kcm.org. This weekend, come to Kenneth Copeland Bible College Campus Days, March 31st through April 2nd. It's a great opportunity to experience all KCBC has to offer, from world-class teaching to a night of powerful worship. You'll meet instructors, alumni, and even create new friendships with future classmates. Come and get a glimpse at your future at KCBC. For more information, go to kcbiblecollege.org/campusdays. Remember this, God loves you, we sure love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Find out more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith. Visit our website, kcm.org.uk.